This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 429 for Tuesday, January 26th, 2016. My name is Martin Spriggs, and you're watching or listening to Wells Tech, a show about technology and ministry, and we try and find where those two things intersect by God's grace and helping me do that each and every week. Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am just awesome, Martin. How are you today?
Good. I made it safely back from Minnesota last week. Really enjoyed our time there together. We had, I think, just an awesome interview with James and Jim from MLC and the wonderful things that are going on there on campus.
I would agree with you, Martin. It's an exciting time here at MLC, and it's neat to have a little peek inside of all the things they're doing terms of educational technology and just great ministry training in general.
It is. And the atmosphere around campus was kind of cool too. It was the day after Evangelism Day, so I was up there and was able to participate in that. And then I had some meetings on campus the next day. So it was a great couple of days there. But now it's back to our regularly scheduled program. And this is one of those shows where we're doing community feedback once a month. So we've changed it up a little bit. Now for the last 3 or 4 months, we've had a whole show dedicated to the great feedback that we have received over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. And we bundle it all together and we kind of have a cornucopia. We have all kinds of different topics scheduled for the day. So who knows where it'll go, but I know all of these things that were shared with us are ministry focused and have some, I think, some potential uses in churches and schools.
Definitely, Martin. Quickly becoming one of my favorite shows of the month is there's just so much to learn and so many different avenues to go down, and I think it means that there will be something for everyone. I hope that's the case. I oftentimes like to apply the things we share to my own personal Christian walk, and I think there's some things along those lines as well as things for churches and schools. And so looking forward to diving into this lengthy list of interesting links and websites and things that folks have shared.
Yep. Before we go any further, I got to ask you about your webcam. It looks like it is capturing a cabinet or some kind of surface right at the top.
I think that I moved my monitor not too long ago. Actually, one of those, I don't know when it was, I did a show without you and I had it like this. Do you see that little, and I realized that was my Bible thing. And so about halfway through the show, I reached up and pushed that back. But yeah, some of our.
Just a little bookmark there, an analog bookmark she introduced into the show. So
that's right. All about paper. And I do love my paper Bible.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about all things digital, I think, on the show today. A lot of them are some web services and some... on mute. Yep. Am I back?
You're back. Thank you.
I don't know how I put myself on. We're having some technical difficulties today. So we might as well jump into the topic. Where would you like to start, Sally, in our community feedback-focused show?
I think this is the point where I share my screen and we start talking about links shared via Digo is a great place to start. I use Digo all the time, Martin. I don't know if you're a huge fan, but we have a Wells Tech group on Digo. And so if you're a member of the group, if you want to be a member of the group, just let us know. But if you're a member, then you can tag things and add them to basically the group pool. And the first thing that I found there in that Wells Tech Digo group pool was a link to 2016 Plan and Budget for Copyright Compliance. This is from our friends, the Copyright Coach and the website is thecopyrightcoach.com. I thought this was interesting because they're helping you to plan, and they came up with a nifty little acronym to go with it. P for prepare, policies, procedures, and planning. L for learn the basics of U.S. copyright law. A for allow enough time for obtaining permissions. And N, that famous N word, never, never assume it's okay to use copyrighted material without licensing. So if you're going to assume something, assume it's not okay. And maybe, just maybe, it is, and you would find out you were lucky in one small circumstance. But for the most part, you could probably assume it's not okay to use without proper licensing around it. And so they have a great free ebook called Solve the Puzzle of Copyrights, 6 Steps to Learning How to Do Music Right. It's geared for churches, and I think it really addresses that L in their plan acronym, helping you to learn the basics of U.S. copyright law. I've sat in on a couple of their webinars, and I've found them to be very, very informative. So if 2016 is the year that you finally get on board and pay attention to those copyright issues, then this is probably a great website to start with.
Yeah, I read through the article there, and one of the things that I was reminded of is the importance of education. So as you kind of go through this process, don't assume that you're the only one that has to deal with copyright. If you're the webmaster or whatever, there are other copyright concerns that could crop up in social networks and in other outlets for your ministry or school, whatever. Just make sure that you're passing that information along to those people who need to know. And make sure that there is some kind of governance over the whole process, so that there's maybe you could implement an approval process or kind of figure out what policies, procedures need to be in place and what workflows need to be in place to make sure that you are in compliance. Because, you know, just the fact that you know it isn't enough. Your organization, it's got to be an organization-wide thing. So we should probably thank, I'm assuming this was from Gail. That's the note here I have. Gail Potratz contributed this link, right, from Digo?
Yeah, she definitely added a comment there. I'm not quite sure. I think possibly I added it to Digo, okay, but I'm not sure.
All right.
But yeah, definitely Gail is interested in it and added a comment on Digo, which is another feature of Digo. If you're a member of the group, then you can kind of have a conversation around some of the links that are shared. So helpful stuff.
And some other Digo stuff, right?
That's right. Next up, we have another free ebook that's available for download. It's called Free Social Media Ebook. And this one I know was shared by Pastor Emil Burgess, and Emil copied a little from their introduction. It says, social media is no longer a new buzzword, an emerging trend, or some passing fad. It has taken a premier role in how we live and interact with each other. Social media has gone through its growing pains and is now a vital part of business marketing for companies large and small. In this book, we'll cover how social media can help you build your brand, connect with new and existing customers, and improve your customer service before, during, and after customer transactions. Included are some of the most up-to-date tips on getting the most from your social networks. Social media is no longer a trend. It's an important part of your business. So sounds like a quick and easy read. It says 16 pages, 30-minute read, but potentially some information there that would make it worth your while as you consider social media in your communication planning.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of, not a lot, but there are a number of these kinds of resources in the show today, these quick little ebooks, you know, quick reads, bullet pointed, you know, just kind of useful handbooks or hand guides to, you know, a lot of different things. So thanks, Emil, for sharing that particular one. And almost all of these are free. You just have to kind of sign up and they'll send it to you. You may have to deal with kind of the, you know, get off the mailing list kind of thing that's going to happen sometimes with these free resources. But the content in general is well done.
Definitely. Next up, another ebook. This one isn't free, and actually you can get a paper copy or an ebook copy. And interestingly, Pastor Emil Burgess again shared this. It's a short read. Do more better. Don't try to do it all. Do more good, better. And Emil commented, I've enjoyed this guy's blog for a while. The blogger's name is Tim Chalice. And I got the Kindle version for this on sale for $5.99 after the new year, but haven't read it yet. The book is based on a productivity series he wrote last year that was very good. I'm looking forward to getting to it. And at the same time, we also heard from our Wells Tech Hall of Famer, Pastor Rob Gunther, with a similar link, and he said it was kind of a shorter, chippier kid brother to the book we read last year, Martin, What's Best Next? And again, just focusing on productivity, Rob had a lot of good things to say to it. He said it's definitely shorter, 104 pages versus the 327. Missing that gospel motivation that we so much enjoyed when we read together that book, What's Best Next? But Rob gave us a lot of good feedback. I've jumped down in the mind map to Rob's section there, Martin, if you're following. And he says one of his favorite parts came at the end of the book where the author suggested this simple yet, to Rob, it was profound approach. Look at each aspect of your life, area of ministry, calling, and ask, how can I serve and how can I surprise? The first question asks, what must I do to be faithful in this calling? The second question asks, what can I do to excel in this calling, to go above and beyond and leave others pleasantly surprised? I love the simplicity of serve and surprise, and it pushes Pastor Gunther and I'm sure many of us toward excellence in every area of life. Says you'll never really be done surprising, because once you continually do well, it will no longer be a surprise. You have to come up with something new. So great take on do more better. Appreciate both Pastor Burgess and Gunther sharing that book. And if it comes at us from two different angles, Martin, maybe we should take the time to read it. What do you think?
I think so. What I found a little bit interesting about this share was the different platforms that it's available on. It's available on Amazon, of course, but it's also available on a publisher called Cruciform Press, cruciformpress.com, which is a Christian book reseller. And they provide it in paperback, but they also provide it in PDF, EPUB, and Mobi, so that's a little bit of an advantage over Amazon for cheaper price, $5.49 for those three versions. Mobi's good for Kindle. EPUB is great for iOS, and PDF obviously is very multi-purpose. So if you're into the digital library thing, it's great to see that some of these resources are available in a lot of different formats. Cruciform Press, I did a little bit of looking at some of the other books that they had, and some of them, others of them also sound very interesting, mostly related to Christian topics. So they kind of feature Christian titles and Christian artists. So I can't vouch for any of them since we haven't even read this one, but it seems like they have some very timely topics that might be worthwhile taking a look at. So kind of a sidecar submission there.
Awesome. Thanks for that. All right. Moving on, there were links shared via Digo to an article called Millennials as Digital Natives, Myths and Realities. I know that's something we've talked about before on the podcast, Martin, and I think this one actually came from Cindy Krieger, who has shared with me, working in a secular office setting, how it's different to work with younger workers versus maybe those with a little more experience and gray at their temples or whatever it may be. And I think sometimes the expectation is that they know it all, and we are surprised that they don't, and also the expectation that maybe they don't have any social skills because they're busy staring at their phones. So this article very well addresses that. It talks about what's considered a millennial and isn't. Digital native is tossed around. I think we talked about that last week on the show, even as we were talking about the students here at MLC and whether they knew it all about technology. And this article is very much in line with that discussion that we had.
Yeah, they mentioned three myths. You mentioned two of them. The third one is digital natives are much better at multitasking than digital immigrants, and they kind of talked through that. So it's a good read. It also helped me understand where millennials fit and who's in what categories, because they give kind of the whole strata of generations now, since you got to go back to even beyond before baby boomers. You know, that's my category. But they call the generation before that silent generation, and then greatest generation, all those 87-year-olds and up. But then they go all the way up through, kind of give a nice little illustration of what each group is. But my kids are in that millennials group, and I found it a real interesting read. And it does have impact on ministry. It does not only has impact on your teen groups, but all the way down through grade school and all the way up, you know, into senior ministries, because there are characteristics about these age groups that does impact how you communicate, how they relate to one another. So just kind of a good quick read. Thanks, Cindy, for sharing that.
Definitely. And then one more I'll just make mention of from our DGO group. It's actually one that I added. It's an article from our friends at TechSmith, who are all about image and video communication. They have the products Snagit and Camtasia Studio, as well as Jing. And this blog article is actually focusing on images, and it's just a real basic introduction to image file formats. So if you're someone who's trying to figure out what the difference is between a JPEG and a GIF and a PNG and all those other formats that are floating around out there for images, and which ones are correct to use in which situations, then this quick read might give you a good basic understanding of that. And they have some example images in there. They talk about image size, pixel dimensions, and things like that. They talk about vector images and transparency, all kinds of good information. Really short read. You're not going to be able to go, you know, take an exam on it or anything like that, but you definitely can benefit from getting some of this basic information under your belt. So yeah, check out our show notes.
English kind of approach, so it's nice.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, I checked out Twitter and right away found an interesting blog post, or actually more of an infographic, from our friend James Karlofsky, who was on the show last week. This one is from elearninginfographics.com, and the title of the infographic is The Do's and Don'ts for Teachers on Social Media. It's about more than digital citizenship. So they say 80% of teachers are on social media. Here are some handy best practices worth following. They kind of separate it into two columns, do's and don'ts, and have things, you know, it's okay to post updates and comments. If you're in a public forum, keep it light and positive. If you can't, keep quiet. And on the don't side, don't comment on status updates of your students, even if it's positive, because you're either being criticizing of showing favoritism. No matter what you do, you can't win. It's either harsh or it's showing favoritism or whatever, you know. So they kind of contrast things between the two columns. I definitely like this one that says don't post during work hours. It just doesn't look good, not even if it was scheduled. I think that could apply to any of us, not just teachers. If you're at work, unless you're doing it for your job responsibilities, it's probably not a good idea to be posting things on Facebook or liking other people's statuses or whatever. Kind of focuses on privacy. Take care when posting pictures of others, particularly of children, you'd think, and you don't want to cast your colleagues in any kind of negative light or anything like that. So good tips here, and we thank you, James, for sharing that infographic.
Yeah, it was a balanced, I think a balanced infographic. It obviously gave both sides, and it didn't say, you know, stay away, don't bother. But it did say, you know, there's some good common sense kind of things. I wouldn't say there was anything earth-shattering, but it's good probably to look through this. And if you don't have a social media policy at your church or school, this is probably a good place to start in building one. I think we've got some examples on our Wells Tech Wiki as well, but this is a great place to kind of just hit the common sense ones, the big ones, and then go from there. But if you don't have one, you really ought to.
Yeah, definitely. And then via Twitter, we heard from my friend Martin Spriggs. Martin, you had a couple of things to share via Twitter.
Yeah, this should have been one that you shared. But
I know.
But Microsoft is making a big play at the, I'd call it the gamification of education. So they have, they've bought a number of companies, and Minecraft EDU is one that they bought recently, and they're launching a Minecraft education platform or version of Minecraft. And there's a video there that talks a little bit about it, but they're taking this pretty seriously, and right now they say Minecraft is in about 7,000 classrooms in 40-plus countries around the globe. Or Minecraft EDU was, and I think they're going to make a big play here as they launch Minecraft for Education and lesson planning and a special version. Now, they do say it'll be free while it's in trial, but at some point, I think it's said maybe $5 per student once it goes mainstream, a fee of $5 per student per year. So if you plan on maybe making it a part of your curriculum or using it in any way, it will cost you. But you know, right now, I think once they roll this out, you can take a look at it for free and see if this works. So all of this stuff about Minecraft, Sally, makes me think I probably at least ought to try it once to see, you know, what all the fuss is about, because everything I read in educational circles, especially, that, hey, this has real educational value. So
yeah, you and me both, Martin. I live immersed in Minecraft speak all day long, every day, just about. And I've never once sat down and chopped one thing down with my little axe or whatever it is that they do. So probably worth wrapping my brain around, but we'll see.
Yep.
You'll have to let me know how that goes for you.
Okay, maybe we should do it together.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
One next. More article from you.
Yes, and this came from our friends at Church Tech Today, I believe. Yeah, churchtechtoday.com. Key advantages to digital Bible study. And let me open this up as well so I can see what I'm talking about. But Lauren Hunter, who we've interviewed before, is part of this website. And I don't know that she posted this, but they have a lot of great stuff on topics like this, where technology and ministry meet. Five reasons you should embrace digital Bible study. First of all, you have access to an amazing resource online, a lot of Christian literature. I think of things like YouVersion and some of the tools that they make available, the reading plans. In fact, that's one of the tips here. Digital note-taking is finally at a place where you can save and store your stuff and not fear that all that hard work you put in will be lost. There's the Bible reading plans, all kinds of opportunities to do this now that you've got it in your pocket or on your tablet. And ultimately, the last one is, you know, we live in a digital world, and digital Bible study probably has a good place there. So it's well made for that with the search tools and with the linking, hyperlinking and such. So makes a good case for taking advantage of those digital Bible study resources. And we talk about them off and on the show, too. So
definitely. I love that we live in the digital world thing, because that's also a good reason to be considering online giving. You know, that concept that I have to write out a check to church when I don't write checks to anywhere else, you know. So
you know what I did this past weekend?
What's that?
Signed up for online giving at my church.
Woo-hoo.
I had it. Well, I guess we just started about 6 months ago, and I hadn't done it. And I figured, well, with the start of the new year, we're using Vanco, which I know a lot of churches use, and it took, you know, 30 seconds to do it. And I have an online profile where I can go in and change it if I want, or skip or add more or whatever. Really super easy. So I'm hoping that this is a trend, because I think it will benefit those ministries, because, you know, one of the challenges of a giving methodology where you be in church and you drop an envelope in a in an offering plate. If your schedule's anything like mine, I'm not in my church every Sunday. I'm either, you know, traveling or on vacation or whatever. This just kind of keeps that regular part of giving, that set aside kind of encouragement that God gives us. It makes it very easy to do.
Definitely.
It's still a little weird, you know, passing the offering plate, you know, and not putting something in it. So I've got to kind of figure that out for myself. And I think that's maybe the resistance from some people too.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to speak to, Martin. I'm glad you said that, because at our church, St. Paul's here in New Ulm, they actually talked about that in some articles that they published in the newsletter.
Oh, that's
and things.
A great idea.
And they made a little token that you can pick up in the back of the church when you pick up your bulletin that allows you to put something into the offering plate. It says something like, I joyously gave online or something like that. And you mm-hmm. physically get that experience of putting something in the offering plate and you're still giving online. So that's how they chose to handle it. I'm not sure how many people are making use of that, but I know that that was something that they made available when they rolled this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there are other approaches. If you've got a family and you've got kids, you know, they can obviously still, you know, put something in the plate. Those kinds of opportunities still exist, but just something you got to kind of work through. And I think as this becomes more and more common, that kind of feeling will go by the wayside too. So,
mm-hmm. All right, we should shift gears and talk a little about Facebook. And I actually have our Facebook page up on my screen right now. It's available at facebook.com/WellsTech. And we do periodically post things on the page, definitely each week as we release a new episode. That's out there, and sometimes other things are shared as well. It's a way for you to communicate with us if you're listening and have feedback on a show or whatever it may be. So I just happened to notice as I was preparing, Martin, that we're only 16 likes away from 500 people actually liking our Facebook page. So it'd be really cool if everyone who's listening would go out and like our Facebook page if you don't already, and we could get up to that 500 threshold. That would be super neat.
And if you do already, then go find a friend who doesn't.
So. Find a friend. Share Wells Tech. Yeah, we could call that like guerrilla marketing.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Also on Facebook, we have mentioned before that there's a group called Wells Intersections, and that's a group where it's kind of an offshoot of Wells Tech, we might call it. It kind of grew out of our Wells Tech conference last summer, headed up by Pastor James Aderman, and it's geographically centered in the Milwaukee area, southeastern Wisconsin. But that doesn't mean anything in Facebook terms. Anyone from anywhere could be part of the group and enjoy the resources. I just have to compliment Pastor Aderman and how much he's put into it and the things I'm learning from the things he's sharing there on the Wells Intersections page. So if you're on Facebook and you want to join it, check out our link in the show notes. It is a closed group, like a private group. So you have to say, I want to be a member, and then somebody will approve you, and then you're in. And I don't know, he's posting 3 or 4 things a day. I'm not sure where he's finding all these great resources, but lots out there on the Wells Intersection page. And it's again, a group where anyone can post and share. So hopefully we'll see more and more things shared there by others as well. I just picked out a couple from the list that excited me. Recently, Pastor Aderman shared 99 freebies to help you build awesome websites. And what a list this is. And, you know, you could be a very beginner and benefit from some of the things on this list, and you could be a lot more advanced and find things to up your game even at an advanced level. There's photos, stock photography sites. Some of them are free. There's symbols and icons. There's fonts. There's colors. It goes on and on. And I found some things right away that I added to my Digo list and bookmarks and things so I could find them again in the future as I'm doing website work. So a great article. Did you check this one out, Martin?
I did, and I think just like you, one of my pick of the day came from this list.
Yeah, mine did as well.
Through this list. So, yeah, awesome resources. And it take you quite a while to go through all 99, but the ones that I just did a little bit of cherry picking, really impressed with. So kind of a nice collection of resources there.
Definitely. Also from Wells Intersections, and maybe from that list. That's probably where I found it.
I think this was on the list, yeah.
I wanted to point out the Pexels, PEXELS.com website, and free stock photos, and these are public domain photos. So not just free with attribution or you know, non-commercial use or any of that kind of stuff. They're free, 100% free. And so check out Pexels.com. I'm definitely going to be making use of this site. I always love to find new stock images.
In fact, I added this one to my pin board list of free stock photographs, which I maintain for some of the classes I teach. So yeah, wonderful job, Jim. Keep it up. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think anybody can do it as well, and others have. So it's not just Jim, but you have other opportunities there.
Right. I think that does it for Facebook. We should now shift gears to Google Plus. And, you know, over on Google Plus, we definitely have a Wells Tech presence as well. So if you want to join our circles there, you get updates about the show and different interviews that we're doing and things like that. But in addition, one of the big things that Google Plus is becoming more and more a place to go for is a community type feel as well. And there are a couple of communities that are Wells-centric communities having to do with education that we've mentioned before in the past that have lots of great conversation going on. The first one is called Wells Google Schools. So the idea is if you're using Google Apps for Education in your school, you could join here and ask questions. People ask questions about apps administration, they ask questions about specific apps, using them in the classroom, integrating them, all of that kind of stuff. And I know for a fact there are at least three or four Google certified trainers in the group. So besides all the great folks out there that are using Google Apps, you've got some certified people as well that are responding to the discussion, and just a great place to ask and share questions. So the first thing I want to share from that group was something that our friend Rachel Pearson shared. And Rachel wrote, just like to share with you a grassroots effort to add educational conferences and events to one master calendar and map. If you are running, know of, or heard of any events that would be interesting to other educators, please add them. And the website is theeducationcalendar.com. Looks like it's a Google site, and they are looking for calendar ambassadors, which is how Rachel identified herself. So she's our Minnesota ambassador for theeducationcalendar.com. And there's a whole slew of events, and they're represented here on a world map. So you can click into whatever area of the world you're in and find events in your area potentially. Maybe if I zoom in a little on the United States, you can see different events that are happening all across the United States. So definitely a good place to check out. I think there's so many opportunities to connect with others and learn from each other as education technology just really takes off. The classroom is changing in many positive ways because of that new realm of modifying our teaching with the technology tools. So definitely make it use of this mapping location, this calendar location, to find education opportunities.
Yeah, because a lot of our schools are located in the Midwest, I did look at those locations in particular, and there's something in each of the kind of the big three states of a lot of our schools, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan. So, and I'm sure that as the word gets out that this calendar exists, I think it'll fill up, because summertime is when a lot of those things go on. And if you are interested in kind of building your personal learning network, there's not really a better way to do it than to go to one of these conferences and meet some people and be introduced. It's not just the people you meet, it's the presenters and some of their personal learning networks that they share. Oh, I follow this Twitter list, or I maintain this list of resources, et cetera. That's how, that's one of the great things I enjoy about going to conferences is finding out other people's resources.
Definitely. All right. Two other communities in the Google Plus space that we want to make mention of. One is the Office 365 schools. So if you're using Office 365, OneNote in education, very popular now as well, you can join that group. And recently in that group, our friend Perry Lund shared a free ebook. Imagine that. Yeah, maybe that's the theme of the show, Martin. Free ebooks for sale.
Free ebooks for everybody. Anyway.
That's right. This one's titled Getting Started with Office 365, 8 Epic Hacks to Boost Productivity. So if you're an Office 365 user, I'm sure you would appreciate some epic hacks. So check that out.
Who doesn't want epic hacks?
That's right. And then finally, a group I wasn't familiar with, Martin, you got one up on me in the social networking community. It's Wells High School Google group.
Yep. This has been around for a while. I think I joined it last year, and I don't remember who started it. I want to say it might have been Jim Monkey, or it could have been Drew Willems, one of those guys. I'm probably way off base, but those guys were interested in putting together a Google group that would service our Wells High Schools. You know, we've got 20-some-odd high schools, and they don't limit it just to personnel at those high schools. Anybody kind of interested in education at that level, kind of the 9 to 12 level, might benefit from this. And one of the topics lately has been one-to-one computing. And Kurt Seeger from Wisco, the tech director there, they're rolling out one-to-one computing at Wisconsin Lutheran High School and doing some other stuff, too, with the faculty, et cetera. And he's after the documentation that goes along with all this. So he says, now comes to the fun part. His coworker and he are looking for any documentation that you are willing to share that you handed to your faculty or had them sign prior to starting similar programs in your school. We're looking for sample AUGs, classroom guidelines for teachers and students, handbook policies referring to technology, school-owned and privately owned, and perhaps suggestions of best practices that you may have given to teachers who are using technology in their classrooms. Finally, if you have any suggestions for faculty training or any materials that you would recommend, we would really appreciate seeing them. And I think where a lot of the these efforts fail is not in kind of the procurement and rollout of the devices. It's what happens after that. Are the teachers comfortable using them? Do the students know what to do with them? Are they truly tools in the hands of the students and the teachers? And I think that's really what Kurt is looking for. So he also says, looking forward to seeing a lot of you at Brainstorm in a few weeks. We've talked about Brainstorm before. Jim Monkey came on and talked a little bit about that related to our book on project management. So that's coming up in just a few weeks out in the Dells, I believe.
I think you're right. Very good. So that's our Google Plus feedback for this show. And now we get to move on to one of my favorite social networks, Martin, and that is, drum roll, everybody that watches knows, I'm going to say Pinterest. And believe it or not, there was a pin on our Wells Tech board this month, and it was for the periodic table of education technology. You can just ignore the fact that I was the one that pinned it. That shows there on the screen. But I'm sure everybody that follows our pin board was thrilled. It links to an article from a group called Daily Genius, but they actually link to another version, not just a flat PDF, but this PDF done by Kathy Sharrock, who does the Sharrock Guide, loads of great educational technology.
We've talked about her before.
Coming out of her. She's awesome. Well, she took their flat PDF and she added links.
Hyperlinked. Yeah, that's what I was complaining about on Pinterest, that I couldn't go right to those locations. So
that was one of the things you were complaining about on Pinterest. But
that was the one I was complaining about today. Yeah.
Okay. So what they've done is they have come up with all the current educational technology tools, and they have it divided and it's laid out similar to the periodic table used in chemistry. They have social networks, online learning, multimedia, coding, classroom tech, and finally hardware. And then, like I said, you can click on each of these to go to them. Look at there. oh, I was going to say it was pin board. It's plan board that's represented there. But, you know, just all kinds of things, lots of new things that I wasn't familiar with. Down at the bottom, they have education conferences. So those would be those things that would show up on the education calendar we were just talking about. So I think this is a really extensive list. And like I said, I'm sure you could find some new things that you aren't familiar with. So definitely check out the periodic table of education technology, and I highly recommend Kathy Schrock's version that's clickable to get you to all these spots.
It's just amazing to me. If we had kind of tried to do this 15 years ago, even maybe 10 years ago, I think you would have struggled to put together something like this. But just there's resources being rolled out every day. And that probably highlights the importance of having these networks and some of these recommendation sites that actually look at some of these things for you, because you could spend your entire day trying to find the best resource or the one that works for you or the ones that don't, you know, wasting time on those. So these are great resources that somebody's taken to curating, you know, these resources and making them available to us.
Which gives us a great opportunity to do a shout out to our Wells Tech community. We wouldn't be having a community feedback show if folks hadn't curated resources and shared them through these various channels. So thanks so much for that. We're all learning together and learning from each other's experience rather than having to reinvent the wheel each time we need to do something. So, good point.
Sally, by the way, before we leave Pinterest,
yes, sir.
How do you find our Pinterest page?
Well, if it were me, I'd go to our Wells Tech page and click the link right up there that's convenient for folks. Let me just share my screen. So if you're at wellstech.wells.net, all of these social networks are shared right along the top in the upper right area, and the red P is what will lead folks to our Pinterest page. It's pinterest.com/wellstech. Didn't know that before, but now I do. So we've got a couple of boards there. Our general Wells Tech board, we've got Wells Tech Books, the Wells Tech Conference, and even a special board on 10 reasons to attend Wells Tech Conference. So all kinds of fun stuff there on Wells Tech's representation on Pinterest. Glad you asked that, Martin.
Just trying to feed the Pinterest engine.
There you go.
Let's talk about another one, another resource that's been around longer than this show, right? Our listserv.
That's right. It's conveniently called the Wells Tech Listserv. Wonder where we got the name for the show. Anyway, Wells Tech Listserv is basically an email group. You can join the listserv, and then when you send email to a special email address, it goes to all the members of the listserv. And so basically, you can ask questions, you can share ideas, you can tell us that you have things, technology to give away or for sale or whatever the case may be. And this month we heard from our friend Jason Schmidt, who is shared that he's had great luck with something called a Chromebit display. And I brought up an article from Gizmodo. And Martin, you probably have a lot better information on how this hardware works, but it says it turns any TV into a Chrome PC for under $100.
HDMI input, yeah. I've talked about, I don't know if I made it a pick, but I've tested the Intel Compute Stick, which is very similar, but it runs Windows. The Chrome bit, as you might imagine, runs Chrome. So it's a kind of a, it looks like a USB thumb drive, but it's got the HDMI on one end, it has a USB port on the other. It needs power to work, but it turns really any computer monitor into a Chromebook. And monitor or television, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything with an HDMI input. And then you add a Bluetooth keyboard or mouse, or you can attach it to the USB as well. And away you go. It connects via Wi-Fi, so you have to have that. He brought it up in the context of, I believe, display boards or the ability to broadcast different things around the campus through the television sets, the digital signage that is available on a lot of campuses. And he also referenced, I think, a Chrome extension called the Chrome, I want to say Sign Builder, is that right?
That's correct.
That does, it's a Chrome extension that works with the Chrome bit and allows you to kind of automate this, where you can time the length of slides or the presentations by time of day. Somebody was also saying, you know, how they can time it to maybe when people come into church, if you want to do it at church, or when parents come to pick up kids, you can say, well, this is what I want to display from 3 to 4 when I'm going to have parents in the school, or 9 to 10 on Sunday morning when we've got folks in the narthex, whatever. So kind of a low-cost solution. And then some of the further discussion on the listserv, which is kind of cool, that's the neat thing about these, is people have other ideas, repurposing old Chromebooks, you know, for this purpose, where maybe they're too decrepit to kind of you put in the hands of a child, but they work great as kind of a server, so to speak, that can be hooked up to your digital signage, and it can be used to do the same thing these things do.
Yeah, and there were several people that mentioned that they use Google Slides instead of the Google Sign Builder, and just have the slide document shared with maybe the office staff or whomever that would do updates. And as soon as they make the change, it's live on the digital display.
Refreshes,
so,
right.
Great experience. I think it was Joshua Shanek and Mike Wisniewski shared out on the listserv. So, and I saw a tweet from Gail. I think she actually went and bought one. So we'll see how it is working for Gail at Emmanuel in New London, because she took Jason up on it and went out and got one, was excited to have a solution. So neat to see that getting easier for folks.
Yep, very good.
All right. Next on the list was just email from our friend, Pastor Rob Gunther. I mentioned already that he shared the Do More Better book by Tim Challis. And he also shared a link, one that we talked about ages ago, eons ago, on the Wells Tech podcast. It's to a really simple website called BrokenLinkCheck.com. And he makes this a regular habit to go out to this website, put in his church email web address, and let it check to see if any of the links don't work anymore. It's a whole lot easier than clicking through every single page and every single link on your website. If you just feed it the website URL, it'll do the checking for you and return a report, and you can go and clean up some links. Perhaps something you linked to got deleted from the web or whatever, and you need to find the resource or remove the link, one or the other. So I think Rob mentioned that he uses if this and that, or follow me then, or something like that, to remind himself to go check the links. And so a good habit to keep your site up to date.
Good. And he called us out too, that he said, was it our Wells Tech site or Wells.net site had X number of broken links. So that's okay, because since he's in the Hall of Fame, he has the right to do that.
I wasn't going to mention that part, but that's great. Yeah. Let's see. And then finally, to wrap up our community feedback section, this came to me via email because I subscribe to different sites, email newsletters, and Church Tech Today recently sent out some freebie links, and this one was to, believe it or not, a new ebook that you can get for free titled Live Streaming Church Services. So if you are considering streaming your church worship service, the ebook says that they'll talk about how live streaming will benefit your church, the basic requirements for live streaming, how to secure alignment within your church organization, and technical best practices and other considerations needed to be successful in live streaming your church services. So looks like a good ebook that I'm sure fits a need for many folks out there as they are considering moving forward in this digital age to live streaming their services. So again, an ebook. So this was the ebook episode for sure.
We skipped one listserv item that I forwarded.
Sorry about
I want to
that.
Make sure. That's okay. I just want to make sure everybody was aware of this. Get the word out. Our church recently did a remodeling, and we replaced some of our audio equipment. So we have a number of things for sale, some ElectroVoice speakers, and one actually very nice Allen & Heath 24-channel mixing console. If you are interested, you can go to the listserv and find this thread. It is entitled Audio Equipment Available from Peace Lutheran in Hartford. Mike Marquardt is our fifth grade teacher there and the music coordinator, and he's the one to contact. And if you go on the listserv, his contact information is in there if you're interested in purchasing some of this lightly used equipment. It's not, I think it's maybe, I don't know, I want to say exactly, but I want to say it's maybe 7 years, 8 years old. So it's not, you know, super outdated, and we just changed kind of the configuration and made some upgrades, but this is nice equipment. So you may get a good deal if you're interested.
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for community feedback for this month, Martin. I can hardly wait for February and to see what all folks share at that time.
Lots of stuff to share. Really keep those things coming. And again, the place to go to make some of those contributions is our website, wellstech.wells.net. You kind of see all those social networks up there. Didn't have anything from Instagram this month. So maybe that should be our goal, is some sharing on Instagram.
Well,
can we move on to our news and tech?
I think that's a good place to go next. Yes, sir.
And I will take the ball here. And I wanted to share an article from Tech Radar, and they went through some of the updates to the next version of iOS, which would be 9.3. So if you have an iPhone or iPad, version 9.3 is just around the corner and gives a little bit of a listing of some of the new features. Normally these upgrades, point releases, don't have a lot of new features, but this actually is a little bit different. It's got a couple things. One of them is something called Night Shift. A lot of studies on this, and one of the reasons that studies have shown that maybe people have trouble getting to sleep now in this digital age is they're on their computers or their tablets or their phones right up until they go to bed. And studies have shown that the blue light that most screens emit, this bright blue light, can affect your circadian rhythms and make it harder to fall asleep. So what Night Shift does is goes on kind of a timer, and it maybe goes along with the sun setting, is it kind of tones down that blue light and adds kind of a warmer orange or reddish, you know, toward the reddish side of the color spectrum, which is supposed to help with those rhythms and not be such a detriment to trying to get to sleep. So they're kind of building that in to their screens. And I guess I've tried this. There's a free program on the Mac called, I think it's Flux, that allows you to set this. And I've been trying it for the past week or two, and it really does work. Almost puts you right to sleep, which is the whole point, I guess. Also in the education space, iOS and education, multi-user support. So on your iPad, you can log in just like you can like on a Chromebook. And then the last major thing that the article talks about is Apple Notes, which I'm not a big user of, but one of the reasons is it never had any way to secure the notes, so it was a little less than useful. Now Apple Notes can be password protected, so if you want to keep private things in there, you can password protect it and have that double protection of the your login to your phone or tablet and then also on each individual note. So that's the news in tech.
Awesome rundown. I'm looking forward to it. Most of the time, I don't really enjoy installing new operating systems, but yes, that one seems like it would be worth my time.
So. All right. What's going on in Wells, Sally, that we want to share?
Well, going on in Wells Tech world is the Wells Tech Photo Challenge, and wow, are we getting some really great images. This month, our challenge for January is Winter New Year in Isaiah 1 verse 18, which talks about being white as snow, though our sins are like scarlet. And we've gotten some beautiful winter imagery. I don't think it's even all the way up to date. I think some new ones came in today added yet. But I wanted to give a special shout out to Naomi Green, who has just gone beautiful above and beyond, sharing some
she
great
knows
imagery.
What she's doing.
Definitely. And I had a little correspondence with her just to thank her personally. And she told me that she's just really enjoyed the challenge. It's something that she's just kind of adopted and looked at ways to kind of stretch her photography skills and do some new things. And every month she's just supplying some really great images. So our challenge album, which is completely public domain and available for anyone to use in any way, it has 388 photos now. And what are we, maybe at about the halfway point of this year-long challenge? So very exciting to see it grow and grow over time, and to see all the beautiful winter images that we're getting. So if you're interested in submitting, there's still time to be part of the January challenge. As I mentioned, it's winter, new year, and Isaiah 1 verse 18. And you can do that over at wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge. We have a simple little form for you to fill out, and you can upload your images right there. And even supply us your contact information if you want one of our fancy Wells Tech screen cleaners. We're happy to mail you one of those. Got mine right here. Lovely Wells Tech orange, and very useful for all these different screens that we make use of day in and day out. So that's the Wells Tech Now news. What about other Wells Now news, Martin?
Yeah, I wanted to share that we have a new devotion that is produced by Wells. It's called Transformed, Devotions Connecting Teens to Christ. So weekly this comes out now, just like many of our other devotions, our military devotion, etc., Christian educators devotion, or early childhood Christian educators devotion. Now this is recently launched. It's text only. There's no audio yet. Maybe that's in the future. But if you go to wells.net/transform, you can read all about it. You can subscribe to it. I recently updated the Wells mobile app to support it. So if you go to update your app, that should have been released, I think, last weekend maybe, you will find it there. But they're nicely done, they're short and sweet, and they're obviously very focused on teen issues. The first series that they're running, I think they're going to kind of do it in series, is called Life Hacks. So they've just released the Life Hacks number 4, which is to serve. Take a look at those and introduce those to the teens in your life.
Awesome.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I should share my screen, Martin. You already tipped the hat just a little bit to say that our picks of the week came from that list of 99 website-friendly tools that we talked about at the beginning of the show. And mine is called Pablo. It's at buffer.com/Pablo. And it's basically a very simple social media image generator tool. And the reason that it was mentioned on the Wells Intersection page or the 99 Tools page is because they've recently kind of upped the ante with Pablo. So simple, but also very capable of doing all kinds of things. So I'm showing Pablo on my screen, and you can see that it actually came in with a quote from Henry Ford. They have a whole series of quotes you can scroll through, and they'll just give you random quotes to put on your images. So they're kind of capitalizing on that, you know, kind of text overlay on images concept. You can turn that off. There's a slider button that allows you to turn off the text, or you can click to turn it back on and it'll come back. And I was a little frustrated when I started playing with it because I really don't want their quotes. Maybe I'd want to put a Bible passage. So eventually I figured out that I could click in here and type whatever I wanted into the box, and I have font choices, and I can toggle it between white and black text and change the font size, bold and italic. So there's a little more control over it than it seems at first. They also give you some image sizes, and they tell you if you want to go with a tall image, that's ideal for Pinterest, a square image, ideal for Instagram, or the default size, which is what they started with, is ideal for Facebook and Twitter. So you can kind of play around with that. Along the top, they give you the ability to turn on and off contrast. So if you want to just be able to see your text a little better, maybe you turn on contrast, kind of acts differently depending on which picture you're using. And they have a collection of pictures along the side. They change what they offer you Each time you load the page, there's a different collection of pictures, but you can actually search royalty-free image library and bring up your own pictures if you want. So there's options there as well. And I want to say maybe at the top, you have a button to upload your own image, so you aren't just tied to the images that they provide for you. You can switch your image to black and white. You can, like I said, turn on and off the contrast, so experiment with that. You can even blur your images. It's a pretty strong blur, so yeah, you know, maybe that's appropriate.
I can't quite tell what that is anymore.
Right. It allows you to add secondary text and a logo. I played with it by uploading the Wells Tech logo, and actually here's an image that I created. I think I took the Wells Tech logo off of it when I saved it, but I took one of their stock images and put our Isaiah verse image over it. And technically I could go add this to our image library because the images are royalty free public domain images, and you're able to share them wherever you want. They provide a download button but also a share button, so you can go from Pablo directly to your social network. I see there's a sign in or sign up link, so I assume you could save your images online and get back to them as well. And then I did notice that they have an install Pablo extension, which I went to the Google Chrome store and clicked to install the extension. It's showing up here in my browser. It has kind of a circle with a paintbrush on it. That's their logo. And it allows you to do a couple of things. If you're on any website and you see an image that you like and want to bring into Pablo, you can do that. Maybe I'll try this one. So if I right click on an image on a site, and this content isn't going to behave for me. Maybe let's try this one. Nope. Okay. Bad example. I can right click here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not coming up for me like I expected it to. It should show in my right click menu and allow me to bring the image into Pablo. So, this is kind of, not your typical imagery that I'm looking at on the Wells.net site, but should allow you to bring it in. It'll also allow you to, and maybe that would work. Let me try one more time. It'll allow you to highlight any text. So if you like this Who We Are, and if I could drag across it, I can right click on any text, and Pablo selected text is an option. If I click on it, then it opens Pablo with that text that I highlighted on the website showing, and I can edit it. You know, I could change backgrounds, do all kinds of fun things with it. So it's nice to get that extension working for you. I think I just crashed the internet. So I'm gonna quit clicking on buttons right now because it's not behaving. There we are. So yeah, that text had kind of a header line, so I could put in some returns in here, and I could tell it to center and come up with a nice image overlay kind of thing. So gives you some versatility with the extension installed. And like I said, I'm really pleased with it. You literally could do it in a matter of 30 seconds and be sharing some type of image in social media. So quick and easy to do, I think, is their sweet spot. That's buffer.com/Pablo.
Yeah, they took some neat hints, I think, maybe from one of your favorite tools, PicMonkey, and made it very specific. You know, PicMonkey has far more features, but this is very focused on just on doing one thing well. So if you do that, great tool to pick up and totally free, right?
That's correct. Like the price tag.
Very good. All right, my pick of the week also came from the Wells Intersection site, that 99 resources site, and it is called the Noun Project. So the concept here is they have created or have collected 150,000 icons designed by creators all over the world. And if you just scroll shoot through their site, I mean, there's just many, many, many kinds of collections. And I'm interested in icons because I work building mobile apps, and icons are important there. But I'm seeing also a trend for icons on website design and in other places as well, even social networks. So this is a great resource for that. It's got a very powerful search engine. It will produce a result set of all kinds of different icons, and you can download them PNG format or SVG format. PNG would be more of a bitmap format or a raster format, or the SVG files would be more of a vector format, which are scalable. But great resources. I think they're all black and white, but if you get the SVG, you can colorize them. But you would just need to know what kind of search term you want. It could be maybe an event. Let's say we wanted to do Advent by candlelight. So if I type in Advent, Advent candle comes up. The screen then will show all kinds of different candles that could be candle images or icons that could be used maybe in your newsletter or on your website. These have many different kinds of uses. These are free. You have to provide attribution for the creator for the free. So you must give credit in some way. The images will come with a watermark at the bottom, which you can clip off if you want using PicMonkey or something like that. But you do have to still give credit somewhere wherever you normally give credit, at the end of the newsletter, bottom of the website, whatever. Or you can purchase the icon for $2. There's also a subscription called Noun Pro, which is $10 a month. So if you're into this and you're going to use a lot of them, maybe that makes sense. But that would give you access to all the images royalty free. So it depends on what you're after. You can make collections or kits with the pro version. You can upload your own as well. So if you're an artist and do those, they do have a Mac app, which allows drag and drop. Just a neat collection of probably an icon for almost every occasion. So if I type in Bible, I'm going to get all kinds of stuff that would be returned. 133 icons of Bibles or church or whatever it is that you're after. So lots of opportunities for creativity here, and just a nice presentation of this as well. So take a look at that. It's thenounproject.com.
I love the URL. That's really creative, because it's what you're typing in there are nouns and finding representation.
I tried typing verbs and it wouldn't take it, so I had to make a noun. If it was a verb, I had to kind of find the noun equivalent. So
I think you're quite the rebel there, Martin, to try typing verbs in the Noun Project.
Just
how dare you?
Testing their URL. Let's move on to ministry resources.
I'm happy to share, thanks to our friends in the Lutheran Schools Office, we picked up on teacher Chris Treader's website. It's called aliveinchristmusic.com. Chris teaches at Apostles Lutheran School in San Jose, California, has a collection of music he wrote for use in the classroom, music curriculum, and with junior choirs. He's offering his music via Alive in Christ Music website. You can download the music for free. There's both instrumental and choral sheet music and a service for Ascension available, along with other helpful resources. So definitely check out the resources link on aliveinchristmusic.com. I looked just a little. It looks like quite the collection of objects that Chris has put together and shared there. So, and for some reason, I got a bad web page, but I did look at it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've got something not healthy going on here. Anyway.
You thinned out your tabs too, so it can't be that.
Yeah. He's got Creative Commons licensing, and it does ask for attribution. And so if you want to check that out, be sure to give Chris attribution for using his work.
Such talent in our synod. What a blessing.
Yeah.
All right. Our featured video, Sally.
And this one actually goes back to community feedback, because this came, I believe, maybe via Digo or via Twitter link. It's from our friend Gail Potratz, and she pointed us to a page, and I think I just closed it, a page on the Creative Commons website where they explain what Creative Commons licensing is. And they've got a lot of verbiage here you can read through, but what Gail was pointing out is this little 3-minute video that's embedded here is a great way to introduce copyright and Creative Commons to middle and upper graders. So teachers take note if you want to do a lesson on copyright and then introduce the concept of Creative Commons, they explain copyright very thoroughly and then explain Creative Commons as well. We found the video out on Vimeo, so we'll be sure to embed it on our show notes so you can watch it directly on wellstech.wells.net, and we added it to our Vimeo likes list as well. So check it out, and thanks, Gail, for sharing that with the crowd.
Awesome. Sally, we're over time, so lots of stuff that you shared with us that we wanted to get out to the rest of you, so please keep that coming. Again, we'll do another one of these shows next month, and hopefully we'll have equally compelling content. So thanks to everybody who contributed, and don't feel that you need to be any kind of some kind of expert to be able to share with the show. We really love to find resources that you found useful that you want to share with the class. So please do that anytime, and then we'll bundle those up and share those with everybody else. We're going to do this again next week for episode 430, and we're going to invite our good friend Jason Schmidt, and he'll bring his brand of Sunshine to the show, and we'll talk about EdTech. So that'll be our education technology-focused show for the month, so you will not want to miss that. Tune in next week for me and Sally and Jason just chit-chatting about educational technology. So look forward to having you all back, and once again, thanks for your contributions and your continued patronage of the show, at least with your ears or eyes. We love that you join us each week. So we'll see you next week. God's blessings. Bye-bye.